Today I'm going to talk about light. Now, if you've been here for a very long period of time, you'll probably have noticed that I talk a lot about light in my lessons. I love to talk about light, and for various reasons. Number one is because Jesus was the light of the world. We read this in John chapter 8 and verse 12, where he simply says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." He gives us the light that we need. He is the light that we need. I like to preach about light because we too are to be light. In fact, Jesus says that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So not only is Jesus the light of the world, he tells us that we too need to be the light of the world. That we live our lives in such a way that we shine as a light would shine, so that others can see our Christianity. And because of our Christianity, perhaps we can cause someone else to think that they need Christ in their life as well. That as we follow Christ and his example, that they should follow us in our example of following Christ. So Jesus is light, and we are light. And the other reason I like to preach on light is because the Word of God shines as light for us. You know, the psalmist David tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know, I don't have to tell you that so many times in life we become disoriented, not knowing where to go, who to turn to, what direction to take. And it's almost as if we are in the dark, not knowing which direction to go. And David tells us here that this word of God can work as a light to lead a path for us to follow. And this light that Jesus gives us is a light that can lead us all the way to heaven if we will follow it. But the key is that we follow the light. I don't know if I've told y'all this story or not, but when I was a child, I love to go to my grandparents' house in the fall. When the weather has turned nippy, slightly cold, one of the things that I love to do with my granddaddy was take out his dogs and go possum hunting. Has anybody in here ever went possum hunting? 1, 2, 3, 4, okay, yeah. Then you know what I'm talking about. You walk around in the dark and you listen for the sound of the dog. It's almost like fox hunting. And you follow the sound of the dogs barking because they will begin to bark when they find the possum. My granddaddy had an old kerosene lantern. It was a big lantern. It probably stood about this tall. And when he would light that thing, it would light a circle of light about 20 feet. And we could follow that light. Always let him go in front because he had the light. And I could follow the light, and I never got lost because I followed the light. I want to tell you, my friends, today, if we will follow the light of Jesus Christ, we will never get lost. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 through 7, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge and the glory of God in the face of Jesus' light." So we see light through Christ. We become light because of Christ. We are indeed to shine as lights in the world. But the fact is, sin is the dominant force in our world today. Sin does not give forth light as Jesus does. Sin does not give forth light the way we are told to give forth light. Sin will give forth darkness, because darkness hates light. Because sin is so easily done in darkness, unseen, unheard. And we as shining lights expose this darkness of sin in a way so others can see it and stay away from it. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 19, just how real and how deadly the darkness of sin really is. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. The only thing that will inherit the kingdom of God is light. All of these things that Paul labels here is of darkness. Darkness can have no part of light. Sin can have no part of God. If we are going to be a part of God, we cannot be a part of darkness. We must be light. So I think it's fair for us to say that we need light in the world today, because our world is filled with darkness. Now, there's a lot of people in this room that can go back 30, 40, 50 plus years in memory and realize that perhaps the world was not as dark in those days as it is today. And I am one of those. 50 years ago, when I was a child, we didn't put up with a lot of the things that society today puts up with. There was a lot more light 50 years ago than there are today. But please understand, there was also darkness. And in the days that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, the world was filled with darkness. And the warning was for them to stay away from the darkness and come out into the light and be a light for others to see and for others to follow. And we are given that same message today, because our world is getting darker and darker and darker. And that means, my friend, that we need to shine brighter and brighter and brighter. If we are going to overcome the darkness of this world, we must shine our lights. So yes, my friend, we do need light in our world today. So today, our question is, does your light shine? When you think about the life that you live as a child of God, is it one that will expose darkness as light exposes darkness? Is it one who will give light to someone that is close to you, that you can help them see light in a dark world? Is your life giving to other people what Jesus has given to you, being the light of the world? This is what God expects of us. So again, I ask you, does your light shine? And if you can't say, yes, my light shines, or if you have to say, I don't know if I'm shining or not, then you need to ask this question. What can I do to make my life shine? What can I do to be the example, to be that light for other people to see? And how can I live my life in a way so that Jesus will see my light as it shines in this world? For you see, for your light to shine, you're going to have to commit yourself to Christ. There is no other way. Commitment means that you are willing to give yourself fully to God. And you know, everyone in this room who are Christians did that when you were baptized into Christ. When you made that good confession of faith that you believe who Jesus Christ is, that He is indeed the Son of God, you have surrendered your life to Him in every way. You did that. Do you still do that? When you came up out of that watery grave of baptism, your light should be so bright that it would be blinding. Is it still blinding? Are you still expelling that light that others can see Christ in you, that they can follow you and know that their light can shine? It takes commitment. 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, our light must shine. Jesus told His disciples in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." That is shining a light. In other words, we have to have a life, we have to maintain a life that is committed to Christ, that is committed to having light to shine for other people to see. Are you doing that? God is looking for people to have that level of commitment. And let me tell you something else, friend. He will accept nothing less. You know, we find the Apostle Paul looking for that level of commitment. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 21, and this is what he said, "For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus." He's looking among his own people. He is looking among the Christians that he is with, and he is not finding that level of light that he needs to see. In fact, he goes on to say in verse 22, he mentions Timothy. He's looking for light, and then he sees Timothy. And he says, "But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with Me in the gospel." Timothy was shining his light. Timothy was giving the Lord the light that he was looking for. And Paul saw that. And in a way, he's pointing at Timothy. He says, "You see that light? That is the light that you need. That is what you need to emulate in your life." At one place, Paul said, you need to emulate Me as I emulate Christ. As I shine My light, you need to shine your light. And when Jesus looks at you, does He see light? Commitment means complete sacrifice. Shining a light means complete sacrifice. You know, Paul speaks of this ultimate sacrifice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. He said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." You see, my friend, true commitment to something will hold nothing back. If you have something in your life that is that important to you, you're going to do everything you possibly can to make it right. We have people in here who've been married 40, 50, 60 plus years. It didn't just come that way. You had to work at it. You had to make it work. You had to give it every commitment that you had. Every ounce of fiber in your body. You work to make that work. And that's what Christ expects of us as His children. And again, He will accept nothing less. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, Paul said, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" My friend, we belong to God. Our allegiance is to God, and we are to give God everything that we have, and when we do that, our light shines. It gives us light. And it gives other people the ability to see light. Commitment not only means that you live for God, it also lets God live in you. You know, this is what Paul did. And in doing so, he challenges us to do the same thing. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I shine my light because of Christ. He went to the cross for me. He died for me. And therefore I need to live for him and shine my light. It is imperative that we commit ourselves to God. And the reason for that is because in committing yourself to God, your light will continually shine. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul said, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling of which you were called. To be a Christian, to shine that light, there are certain things that are expected of you. Now, in the next few verses of Ephesians chapter 4, Paul tells us what this worthy walk includes. He says, you walk with all lowliness and all gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is what God expects of us. And these are the things that we must put within ourselves to shine, to be that light, to be that example. You know, there are several different ways that we can achieve that. We achieve it through meditation, through study, and devotion. You know, the very first words that we hear from the psalmist David, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Beautiful words. These words are talking about shining your light. Listen to them. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. These things, David says, is what it takes to walk worthy. Putting away the things of the world, the sins of this life, and be diligent for God, his law, obey it. We meditate upon it. We yearn for it every day. We make it the greatest part of our being. We can also achieve this through our worship and through our praise. You know what the throne scene that John saw in Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 11, he saw this. The 24 elders fall down before God and says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Have any of you ever stopped and thought about the fact that you sit here today because God said, let there be light? Have you ever thought about the fact that you sit here today because God created his greatest creation of man? Without that, we wouldn't be here. It's interesting that the first thing God said was light. And he uses light as an example for us to become in our lives. light. Because light expels darkness. It expels sin. We can achieve this worthy walk with our daily lives. In Colossians chapter 3, Paul tells us some things that our daily lives need to include. Now, when you look at this long list, you're going to see it here this morning, probably for the most part, because we're going to be on our best behavior today, aren't we? Because we're with the saints in church. It's just like a child at Christmas time. When you had children young at home, and they were waiting on Santa Claus. You got to be good to see Santa Claus. Oh, I remember that as a child. And when my daddy would tell me that, you remember the old monk movies, and they would walk around like this? We're walking on eggshells, by the way. We have our hands folded because we're sweet. Did y'all ever do that? Did you ever think of that? Oh, I've got to be good today because Santa Claus is coming. Oh boy, I'll be glad when he comes and I go back the way I was. Yeah, we're that way, aren't we? He was that way. She was that way. They got it from me. Yeah, we're gonna shine our light today, aren't we? We're gonna be Christ-like today because we're with the family. That's not what Paul's saying here in Colossians 3. He is telling us, hey, you gotta leave with this stuff. You gotta take it home with you. You've got to let people see it every day. Things like tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long suffering. That's patience, by the way. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, love, thankfulness. You know, it's easy to forgive somebody if somebody else is watching, isn't it? Yeah. Because we don't want them to think that we're bad people. A little harder to forgive someone if it's just one-on-one. So then you have to have it with you, regardless. These are the things that God expects of us. This is how you have that worthy walk that Paul is talking about. Walk worthy of God. When you look at the life of Jesus, this is exactly what he walked. Not so much like this, but he walked a Christ-like life. He let his light shine that other people could see. And that's what he expects of us. So let's go back to our first question. Does your light shine? Does it shine in your home? You know, and I just said this, when we get around other people, it's almost like we have a knob on ourselves, and we can change ourselves from one way to the other way, and we can come here and we can be all churchy and we can be all good and we can be sweet and we can be kind, but boy, as soon as we get in the car, we let it go. I know people who do that. I've done so myself on occasion. I guess we all have, haven't we? Does your light shine in your home? Does your light shine in your neighborhood? Around the people that you see every day? What about on the job? Does your coworker see this light that they need to see in their lives? Kids, what about school? Can they see light in you as you deal with your friends at school? Or do they see that mean, hateful, smart-alecky mouth and actions that you have and can display at will? Remember what Paul said. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. What about within the church family? When you look at the person sitting next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, do you see light? And better yet, are you giving light for them to see? Every Christian is to be a shining light. We have to remember, though, in order to be light, you have to allow God's light to work within you. So I ask you today, does your Christian light shine? The person down the street, the person next door, the person at the grocery store, the person in the mall, do they see light from you? God says it has to shine everywhere. And it has to shine all the time. Today, my friend, if your Christian light is not shining as it should, make whatever corrections you need to make in your life now. Repent of your shortcomings. Turn your light back on so that all can see your light. And this morning, if you're not a Christian, I have to tell you, you have no light. There is no light for you to shine because Christ is not in you. But Christ can be a part of you if you will obey His word today. Give your life to Him, obeying the gospel of Christ. And you can leave here with light. And you can show it to everybody. And let everybody see the light that Christ has in you. If you need to do this as well, we ask that you come this morning as we stand and sing.